welcome everybody to this episode of the Know It All Podcast and our first episode up on iTunes. Yep, my name is TJ, and we're going to take a quick tour around Major League Baseball, talk about a little bit of hockey, and then into college football and our first week of the NFL season. So, like I said on the first podcast that I did, I'm a huge hockey fan. I've been waiting for hockey to start since 3 weeks before the Stanley Cup. Once the Ducks got knocked out, I was ready for this season to start. You've got Teemu Selanne coming back for his last season. I think the Ducks have a really good chance this season, but I think any fan at the beginning of the season thinks that his or her team has a good chance day one. But this year we've got two great goalies. Got Victor Foss, Jonas Hiller, which were great splitting the duties last year. Like I said, Teemu Selanne is coming back. 3 weeks. 22 games until the Ducks play, but 3 weeks until hockey season is officially underway. You've got Caps and Blackhawks. In Chicago, the Blackhawks will raise the banner, the Stanley Cup champions banner. Which I think if anybody besides the Ducks was going to win, I think that the Blackhawks were going to be the team to do it. And I think that the Ducks could have beaten the Blackhawks, but the jerseys, the Olympic jerseys. And I may be behind. I haven't done a podcast in about 2 weeks, so I do want to talk about this before I move on to baseball. Okay, I have seen a lot of people talk about how ugly they are and how just ridiculous they look. It looks like whoever designed them, I know that Nike did, but it looks like whoever did them, they're trying to make them look like the Olympic soccer jerseys, and they look terrible. And I think that Nike caught on to something when they started designing these uniforms for Oregon, where, you know, they started going above and beyond, and they did this cutting edge thing where everything looks cool and flashy and all this other stuff, and they keep thinking that they have to one-up themselves. Somebody needs to let Nike know that that's not the case. The jerseys that they had, that they wore 4 years ago, they looked great. And I don't think that we need to keep going one step higher and one step higher. You can't mess with stuff like that. And I think they look terrible. But it's just, the crest, it doesn't, you don't need something like that on a hockey jersey. We're not, ew. And hopefully they'll understand that what they've done, and they won't do that again, because we don't need that on our jerseys. So ugh, somebody let Nike know that hockey is not football and hockey is not basketball, and we don't need to keep one-upping everything. And no, you leave it alone. We don't need all that. Like the Rangers jerseys, if you look at the Rangers jerseys, they haven't changed in forever, and you know why? Because they look great. Look at the Red Wings jerseys. They don't change. You know why? Because they look great. Like Kings jerseys, those are disgusting looking. They look terrible. But that's because they're the Kings. But look at, they don't even have the laces on them. They don't have, I'm not going to spend 20 minutes talking about it. But I think you get the point. They look terrible. Alright, so moving on from hockey to baseball. The Braves still have the best record, barely hanging above 600 at 601. It's the Braves and the Red Sox right now at or above 600. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the teams playing in the American League, you would have the Red Sox, the Tigers, the Oakland A's, the Rangers, the Rays, and either the Orioles, the Indians, or the Yankees. That's going to be a playoff, or somebody's going to have to pull ahead, because those teams are all within two games of each other, and I mean, it's too close. And like I said, I know I said if it started tomorrow, the Orioles are going to win a couple more games. The Rays, I'm sure, are going to lose a couple more games. Over in the National League, you're going to have the Braves, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Pirates, and the Reds. And if the Nationals can get their stuff together, maybe they'll be up and fighting for a wild card spot, but I doubt it. Just because they're something like 12 games back. And so it's not going to happen. I really don't see it happening for the Nationals. But, you know, since I'm a Braves fan, I'll go ahead and give you a quick rundown of how the Braves are doing. Like I said, best team in all of baseball right now. I would love for them to finish over 600. Three weeks left of the season. So hopefully they can kind of, not necessarily put it on coast mode, because I really would love, like I said, for them to finish over 600. But you got Jason Hayward, who they said today they want him to, they're hoping that he'll be back in the lineup by the end of this month. They're hoping that he'll be back in batting practice by Friday when the team gets back to Atlanta. He's going to have a mouth guard on because he got hit in the jaw. I'm not sure if you saw this or not. He got hit in the jaw by a fastball from one of the Mets pitchers probably 3 weeks ago. It broke his jaw. He's had braces, and his mouth's been wired shut. And they said, I think either today or yesterday, he got the go-ahead to move from the liquid diet to a more sustainable solid food diet. So it's no fun being on the liquid diet. There's a lot more that you can't have than what you're allowed to have. So hopefully, like I said, Jason Hayward will be back in the lineup sooner rather than later, so he can be all tuned up and ready to play for the playoffs. Moving from Major League Baseball over into the NCAA. Kind of, I don't want to call it a slow week in the NCAA, just because it's never a slow week in the NCAA. Oregon's up to number 2 in the top 25. I don't want to say it confuses me, just because I've seen them play. They run a lot of plays, and watching Philadelphia play this weekend, or last night, excuse me, watching them play Monday night, you can tell. You can see the way Chip Kelly runs his offense and runs his team. I mean, they run a lot of plays very quickly. But week one, Oregon played Nicholls State. And I haven't seen anyone from Nicholls State win a Heisman. And I haven't seen any team from Nicholls State up in talks for a BCS Bowl or a national championship game in a long time. You know, I could be wrong, but they're getting kind of spoon-fed these teams to play. Last week they played UVA, which they are an ACC team, and they are a nationally known team. They do generally go to a bowl, but I just don't think that it's a huge deal to beat UVA. I think Oregon's kind of getting teams lobbed up to them. They run big, strong, crazy offenses, and you saw it in the beginning of the UVA game where, I mean, they got that two-point conversion real quick and real easy. They just kind of walked into the end zone with that. They look good, and they look like they're a good team, but I don't know that they are as good as they seem to be. I don't know that it warrants a number 2 ranking, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I tell you what, though, a team that absolutely does deserve the ranking they've got is the Clemson Tigers. They're ranked number 3 in the AP poll this week, and I know they played South Carolina State last weekend, but week one they played Georgia. Always a big team, and the way that Georgia played them, and unless you watch the game, you can't really say that game was a 38-35 game. It was so close. On the score looked close, but that game was absolutely not close. Clemson won that game outright, very easily. They were walking all over that defensive line. I mean, and even defensively, they were coming up hard on those guys. And what blows my mind is Coach Swinney came out and said that he wanted Taj Boyd to play faster. He said he thinks he can come out and make his decisions faster. He wants him hitting that receiver. He wants him hitting it quicker and coming out and seeing him and hitting it. And it was crazy. When I heard him say that, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday of last week, when I heard him come out and say that, it was just, I mean, he was already playing quick, and he's the tuck it and run it quarterback. I mean, he's fun to watch. That Clemson team is going to be good this season. Like I said, you've got Texas A&M, Alabama. Texas A&M is ranked 6th. Alabama's ranked number 1. I think this is going to be a good game because Johnny Manziel wants to come out and quiet all of his haters, all the people who've been talking about him recently. All the people at Alabama just want to come out and shut his mouth. So I'm rooting for both teams in this situation because I'm not a big fan of Johnny Manziel. I think he's a jerk. I think to come out and run his mouth the way that he does, and last week when he did the whole autograph thing and blah, 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 blah. I mean, he's playing Rice. And just, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, not last week. Last week was Sam Houston. 2 weeks ago when he's playing Rice and he did the autograph thing, and then to walk directly past his coach when his coach trying to pull him off the field, it's disrespectful, man. You're 20 years old. You're going out and drinking and stuff. And it's not like I didn't drink when I was 20 years old. You can't act like that. You've got people watching you. You're in the national spotlight. Act like a leader. You're supposed to be a leader. Act like a leader. Johnny Manziel bothers me. On the other side of the football this weekend in College Station, Texas, we have Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, two back-to-back national titles. That's not only is this going to be a big game, I think. So if Alabama loses, Oregon will absolutely go up to number 1 if Alabama loses. I hope the Tide beat A&M just because I. As far as the Miami Hurricanes, Florida Gators game went, some people will call it an upset. Some people will call it just an exciting game. I thought that the Hurricanes played a very surprisingly strong defensive game. There were a lot of defensive stands on the Hurricanes' part that were, like I said, surprising. And the Gators, quite a few times, had a chance to not just tie up the game, but end the game, and didn't come through. So, and this is the first time that Miami's been ranked in the top 25. In 3 years, since 2010. So, in Florida got knocked down from 12th. Florida got knocked down from 12th to 18, and Miami went from not being ranked up to 15th. So, you know, 10 places from not being ranked up to 15th. You know, there's UCLA, Northwestern, Notre Dame's 21st, and all they did was lose to Michigan. Baylor's up there, Nebraska's up there. I mean, I think a lot of this is just exposure, the exposure that the Hurricanes are going to get this season. So I don't know that they deserve necessarily a 15 ranking, but whatever. They're going to get the coaches poll and the AP poll. They're so weird about, you know, stuff like that. So moving on to the National Football League, week number 1. Thursday night, we saw Peyton Manning come out and get his rematch against Joe Flacco, and I think he got his revenge. He had 7 touchdowns Thursday night for 49 points against the Baltimore Ravens, who just looked beat down. I mean, Joe Flacco couldn't connect. Ray Rice was doing most of the work because, I mean, they had zero help from wide receivers. Torrey Smith wasn't doing anything. And it looked like they looked just like a team that had no tight end. And with Anquan Boldin gone, like I said, they looked like a team that didn't have a number one wide receiver. The defense did not look like the problem. I mean, you're not going to have a great defense when you're playing against a guy like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning will pick apart any defense. It looked a lot more like depth was the problem. The wide receivers and tight ends need to get it together, and I'm sure Harbaugh let them know that this week during practice. So, running down just a couple more scores that I thought were kind of surprising. Giants Cowboys, I was surprised the Giants came back the way they did, 36-31. Tony Romo took that double hit to his ribs. First half, towards the end of the first half, that was a good, solid hit. He had to come out, and Kyle Orton went in for him. That was surprising. I mean, that looked like a big solid hit. So I'm kind of surprised he went back in. Packers 28, 49ers 34. That was a good close game. The way AJ Hawk was after Colin Kaepernick all game, and it shouldn't be too surprising since that is what he said he was going to do. I mean, he said last week before any of the games even got started, somebody asked him, "How do you stop the pistol?" And he said, "You go after the quarterback, you hit him hard, you put him down on the ground, you make him realize that he doesn't want to get back up and he doesn't want to keep playing." And of course, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he did just that. He took that hit and hit him out of bounds. Colin Kaepernick got back up, you know, gave him the slap on the back of the head, started a fight on the sidelines, and was not the only fight in the game and not the only fight all night long or all week long. I mean, there was quite a few in the Eagles-Redskins game last night and quite a few all weekend. But AJ Hawk did it. One of the guys from the Buccaneers did it, and it cost the Buccaneers the game. And he didn't do it in the same way that AJ Hawk did, but you know, it was not necessarily unintelligent, but I think he was absolutely trying to send a message. He was trying to follow through on what he said, and it wasn't the only time that he did it. He did it a couple of times. So that game did not end the way I thought it was going to. I thought the Packers had that game, and I mean, that's why I picked the Packers to win that, but Colin Kaepernick showed that he could hang out in the pocket and win a game instead of just being the guy that runs around. So congratulations to Kaepernick on winning that game. The Eagles-Redskins game, Eagles 33, Redskins 27. Watching this game, the Eagles called 50 plays before halftime, and you could tell in the first 10 minutes of the game, the Eagles were up, and not just on the scoreboard, but the Eagles were up and the Redskins were down, because the Redskins, man, let me tell you, the Redskins were down. Like, you could tell in their body language, you could tell in the way that they were just playing the game, they were down. It just looked like the Eagles were mid-season. I mean, week 7, week 8, week 9, they'd been playing for a while. They were fully conditioned, ready to go. And the Redskins showed up to training camp last week. Chip Kelly had them going, and I think a lot of people were surprised at how Chip Kelly worked that offense and how Mike Vick ran that. I did see Vick get up limping a couple of times, and I'm not sure what that was. I'm not sure if he was hurt. However, Michael Vick is a quarterback that's been hurt quite a few times. And this week the Eagles are playing the Chargers at home. They're playing in Philly. Phil Rivers played better last night. He looked a lot better than he did all last season and has for a while with Chip Kelly playing or Chip Kelly running that offense and the way that Mike Vick playing the way he did. The only question I have for that game is going to be his health. The Panthers game, you know, we got to talk about the Panthers game. That game was really, really close. I think the Panthers played great the first half. And shockingly enough, the second half, we kind of slacked off. Well, maybe not necessarily slacked off. I think maybe Russell Wilson stepped it up a little bit in the second half and started seeing his holes and running a little bit more and getting a little bit more comfortable with the game. And that's not surprising at all. He does that. You know, like I said, he's done that before, and that's Russell Wilson for you. But what I enjoyed a lot about this game was the fact that Steve Smith not necessarily took advantage of the fact that he had the C on his jersey, the captain on his jersey, but was using it, was yelling at people and getting people straight, because he was. But he was kind of letting people know, like, come on, man, you know better than this. We just spent a month and a half in camp getting you ready for shit like this that's going to happen in the NFL. People are going to call you offsides. People are going to get in your face. People are going to make sure that you do something dumb to give them 10 yards, 15 yards, make you do something stupid. And it was just good to see him getting in people's faces and chewing people out. So I know I should have enjoyed, you know, Cam Newton to Steve Smith, first touchdown of the season, but it's the small stuff. That's the stuff that I enjoyed. So looking ahead to this week, week two of the NFL season, and week two of the season, and some of the games coming up this week. You got the Rams at the Falcons in Atlanta. Like I said, the Chargers and Eagles. Cowboys and Chiefs in Kansas City. The Dolphins and the Colts in Indianapolis. The Titans and the Texans in Houston. The Redskins and the Packers. Now, I think this is going to be a good game because RG3 was just starting to get his groove back, if you will, towards the end of that game Monday night. Aaron Rodgers is not a happy camper right now. He wanted to win that game Sunday afternoon. I think he should have. It was a close game. It's not necessarily that the Packers lost. I think the Niners won. Kaepernick played a great game. So, I watching this game Sunday afternoon, Redskins-Packers, it's going to be a great game to watch. I'm going to try and go out, highlight five games to watch, and this is absolutely one of them. Another one is the Panthers and the Bills. Cam Newton and EJ Manuel. Or what's going to happen more in this game than people think is this is going to be a high running game. D'Angelo Williams is going to go for at least 100 yards this game. He wants it. He wants to take the load. And Mike Tolbert just isn't getting it done. I was not impressed. It looked like every time D'Angelo Williams got 15 on Sunday afternoon, Mike Tolbert lost five. I'm really hoping that Cam Newton doesn't have to tuck down and run. And C.J. Spiller, that's what they're trying to get going up in Buffalo. Is they want him to be the main weapon that they have. I mean, E.J. Manuel looked great on Sunday against the Bills. Against the Patriots. If you missed that game, the Patriots Bills game, that game was the Bills had that game. The Patriots came back. And it's a very funny thing to say that the Patriots came back to beat the Buffalo Bills, but that's exactly what happened. The Vikings at the Bears, NFC North, that's going to be a good game to watch because the Bears should not have won this past week, but I think they'll win this week. Adrian Peterson cannot do it all on his own, and I don't think the Vikings are going to have anyone else to do it this season. Greg Jennings is good, but I just don't think. I'm not a Christian Ponder believer, and I mean up there in Chicago you got Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte. So I gotta give this one to the Bears, and they're riding high from last week. They're in Chicago, Soldier Field, man. I really think the Vikings lose more than the Bears win, but I gotta give it to those guys. Of course, you got Broncos at Giants. Eli and Peyton playing against each other. Peyton coming off the win. Eli coming off the loss. Playing in New York. Well, New Jersey, depending on how you look at it. Playing in New York at the Meadowlands. Got to take Peyton here. They just got Brandon Jacobs back in New York because they just cannot stand. Williams wasn't doing it for him. But Peyton's got Wes Welker. He hit Wes Welker, I think, five times last week. Julius Thomas. But Eli Manning has been known to pop out and prove people wrong. So, 49ers and Seahawks, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. Classic showdown. These two guys are definitely going to be around for quite a while. It's kind of like looking in a mirror. Very similar styles, you know. Each team's got a good defense. I'm playing in Seattle. So, you know, the Seahawks at home. I like the Seahawks D a little more than I like the 49ers D. Mostly because I watched the Panthers game last week and I had a chance to see in and out what's going on with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson over Colin Kaepernick if I had to take a choice. Last but not least, the Steelers and the Bengals. AFC North. Ben Roethlisberger lost this past week to the Titans. Bengals lost to the Bears. I would have to go with Bengals here. Both teams are 0-1. Both teams need a win if there's some kind of chance to get to the playoffs. So there's my five games. You got Skins-Packers, taking the Packers. Panthers-Bills, I'm taking the Panthers. Vikings-Bears, taking the Bears. Broncos-Giants, taking the Broncos. 49ers-Seahawks, taking the Seahawks, and Steelers-Bengals. I'm taking the Bengals. I lied. That's six games. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks for listening, and just remember, I'm on iTunes now. And if you didn't know before, now you know, and you're one step closer to knowing it all. Perspective riser once weighty.